Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman, and in studio now is Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody.
Rocking the Paisley.
Kind of, yeah. It's my Madagascar shirt.
Yep. Is that Paisley or no?
There may be a little bit of Paisley.
There's a little bit right there.
This reminds me of the salad. You know that sometimes the lettuce you get with salads,
the greens. It's more for looks than it is
it
eating.
It tastes very good, but it looks really kind of cool. Yeah, that's what this shirt reminds me of.
So it's almost Paisley.
Almost
Paisley.
It's close to Paisley.
Ray Pritchard. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Your shirt is groovy, baby. Groovy.
Okay, do you guys remember this one? I remember in the 70s using the word boss. No, that is so remember. Boss. Remember
that? Right. Boss.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah? That wasn't around a couple of years, though.
It was in Madagascar where I grew up. Everything was boss.
Ed would tell you in the New England area, the word, and this word has survived, wicked.
Wicked. Yeah. That's right.
Wicked was good. Wicked meant awesome. It didn't mean wicked like evil. It meant wicked like good. But if you go up there, they have a
wicked great lobster.
Yeah, they do. They have a restaurant called Wicked Lobster.
I just made that up. All right.
Yeah, they do. All right. So talking about words that have made it and have not made it, when we did say that the word that we could think of that has survived the 60s. To today is cool.
Cool. Very much so.
Cool.
That's a boss word.
Has survived.
Now, awesome. Awesome,
Michael
dude.
Jackson turned the word bad into good.
That's right.
The Bible talks about that, doesn't it, Ray?
It does. It's the Book of Isaiah.
I don't think Michael Jackson had the Bible in mind.
I don't think so either, but I'm just saying.
He's just bad. Bad meant good.
Bad meant good.
Not bad.
That was good.
Not bad. Not bad.
Did you see the, what's the?
I really didn't need that, Steve, but
go ahead. Was it the guy that plays your accordion?
Will Al Yankovic?
Yeah, he did a parody on
Bad. Yeah, he did. It was called I'm Fat, I think.
Fat, right.
Anyway. All right, we digress, which is rare.
Yeah, never happens.
Hardly ever happens.
All right, before we get into some of the news stories, there is a story, Steve, out of your home state of California.
That's right, Southern California.
It's worth noting.
It's worth noting.
It is.
It's breaking news, so over to you, Steve.
Breaking. In the town of Altadena, which is in the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains north of Los Angeles, we have a bear sighting. Not only a bear sighting, but this bear has taken up residence in a home. This is
Keith Johnson's home.
That's right.
Kenneth Johnson.
63-year-old Kenneth Johnson has found a bear in his crawl space. And
basement area.
He's asked the state of California to come and get it. The Fish and Wildlife came and they got a bear. The wrong one.
Yep.
And took it away. And he's still waiting for them to come back and get the right one. And
so there's more than one bear.
How could that happen?
We're a month into this.
They set up the wrong bear.
Listen, we're a month into this.
They set up a trap, and the wrong bear responded to the trap. They thought they had the right one and left.
Bummer.
The other one was still there.
This fella, seriously, it's funny if it doesn't happen to you.
Yeah, right.
Okay. That's a good point. Yeah, that's right. A good point.
Then everybody laughs. Oh, you're the guy with the bear at his house. This bear is squatting and still is, I think, underneath the house of this fella. What's his name?
Kenneth Johnson.
So the bear goes and comes. The California Fish and Wildlife came to try to. And I don't know how you trap the wrong bear.
He said it's terrorizing his home.
Yep.
He's serious, as you could imagine. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. 550-pound brown bear.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, that's...
So it lives underneath
the house in the crawl space, which is amazing to me. I don't know how
to talk. Guys, please, if y'all could help me here and use the word squatting.
He's squatting. It's a squatting bear.
Thank you.
Okay.
You know, like an Indian chief.
No, a little different. No, like squatting as in taking up residence.
Well, probably an Indian chief named Squatting Bear somewhere.
That's true.
But
you're on your own here now.
Okay, did I offend somebody? I didn't mean to.
You offended the Bears.
Okay. I mean, we did have Sitting Bull. Am I right?
That's exactly right.
They named themselves. I just said there's a squatting bear somewhere. It's an Indian
chief. I'm sure
chief.
That's right.
But this bear lives under the house in the crawl space area.
Which looks a lot like a bear cave.
And then it goes out and feeds.
Uh-huh.
And
comes back to squat more.
And then it comes back. It's using the house as its...
Without permission, it hasn't paid rent in months.
No. As it's using it, it's using this fellow's house basement as its cave. Now can't okay. Count.
Now has the bear gotten loose inside the
house? You can read the story. That's a massive bear.
Came December 9th. Failed, got the roan bear that was like half the size.
Talking about the California Fish and Wildlife.
That's right.
He calls them, says, come get this bear. They come out there, they get the roan bear.
But they come out there at their own pace. At that point, then they've got it roan, they got the roan bear. And so this has been going on for about a month now.
Okay. You know what this fella?
This is a 550-pound bear.
I know. Yeah. Said, you don't go out there and say, shoo.
No, okay. No, you don't.
You don't try to shoot. You don't get your broom out and stoke underneath the house saying, come on, bear, get out of here. This is a huge bear. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay. So, you still didn't get an answer to my other question. Has the bear ever gotten inside the house so far
does
as we
know? Does it say that?
It does not say that it has.
I don't think so. I think
you'd have a problem on another whole level. But, okay.
It's not your average bear.
So is this guy going to sleep at Kenneth? Is Kenneth going to sleep at night knowing there's a bear?
Probably
down
not
under?
Sleeping.
That's
a lot.
Why he's infuriated.
That'd I think
bother
so.
Me.
He's upset.
I think so.
Really bother me.
He's upset.
I don't even know. It may be pointless to do your deadbolt with a 550-pound bear. I remember.
We need audio from this.
We're gonna move on to some depressing news in just a minute. But yes. This is depressing for what's his name?
Kenneth.
Kenneth can't get the calls, but he can't shoot the bear, right?
He cannot shoot the bear.
If he goes, shoots
could,
the,
could in many states.
Oh yeah, almost every state except for California, New York, and
he couldn't shoot.
Yeah,
the bear
that's the consequences of living in a very liberal state. Right. Is you can't shoot the bear,
and you're not supposed to evict squatters. They have legal rights, you know.
That's true. That's fair.
Well,
I better just stop right there.
Kenneth's got problems.
Talking about deadbolt in the door.
This is all.
One time I was at home and we had a snake on our patio, and I won't tell the whole story, but
it didn't end well for the snake. I have a feeling.
Well, that snake had just eaten two frogs and he didn't want to leave my patio. More normally, snakes are they'll flee, right?
Yeah.
But he wouldn't leave because he couldn't. He was like digesting these frogs that he had consumed on my patio. But he lurched back. Can a snake lurch? I don't know. Anyway, he was snapping back. He was about 6 feet away, and he was trying to lunge back at me like quit doing what you, because I had a blower going on him. Like, you know what I'm talking about? I had a blower. I was trying to use a blower to get him to shoo, right?
Yeah.
But then he started coming at me, and I shut the door, and then I locked it.
There you go.
Just for good measure.
That's right. Don't let him.
Allison, my wife was with me there, and I said, "You do realize I just locked the door to keep the snake out, right?"
That'll show him.
So we're not going to tell anybody you did that, but I guess I just.
I know we got to move on, but it gets better worse.
You mean back to the story in California?
Yeah. So here's
it's
some,
slow news day, so we got to have something to talk about. Okay. Here. Go ahead.
And I think you'll take Kenneth's side even more after you hear this.
Kenneth is the man in California with
Kenneth
the bear under
the
his
man,
house.
One of the ways he discovered this shortly after Thanksgiving is he lost hot water because the bear destroyed
his hot water heater.
Okay, we've gone too far now.
Could you imagine? Yeah. I know you and your hot water and shower.
Well, I got to have a shower today.
Shower
or life
water.
Ain't worth living.
That's too.
In all seriousness, to pile on the CDFW, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, they backed out since December 9th. And they've now, again, I. Maybe they
We're
have
just reading the story.
Yeah,
we don't know.
They may have limited resources.
I know.
They may
I know.
Have their reasons for it, but they've backed out and they said they're not coming back.
They're on vacation.
Yeah, we'll probably. Be we're done for now. So
yeah. So he's on his own with this 550-pound bear.
He hadn't tried the blower yet.
See, that's good, Steve. I know you were mocking me, but I still thought it was good there. I was using a blower on a snake, which normally might work, but on this snake, like I said, he didn't want to leave.
Well, that's a great question. Who do you call?
December and January.
Who do you call?
Bear Grylls.
Ghostbusters.
Bear Busters.
All right. No hot water.
All right, Steve, what's your first story over there?
All right, let's talk about Franklin Graham continuing to speak the truth. He is accusing Democrats in Washington of selling their souls for power, and he's speaking out against lawmakers who are signing on to an amicus of the Supreme Court in favor of men in women's sports.
So Franklin Graham, the well-known evangelist.
Yes.
Who I've met. And, in fact, we were at a White House event back in the first Trump administration. I was at a White House event, and he was there and talked to him for a little while. But so he's criticizing the Democrat Party because they've signed on an amicus brief. This right. is a, in other words,
friend of the court.
The brief. Friend of the court. They're saying we as a party are in support of transgendered.
Or 130 members of Congress signed it. So
yeah, of Democrats.
Of Democrats.
And they're saying we support, at the Supreme Court level, the right of males to play female sports, right?
Yes. And it says Franklin Graham, quote, "If you believe men should be allowed in women's bathrooms and to undress in your daughter's or granddaughter's right. locker room, then you should vote Democrat. This is sick. It turns your stomach. Beware."
Well, that is all true. It goes beyond just competitive sports, which is insane.
Right.
The idea of males being able to play female sports. But also, this is a violation of privacy because they let these same, quote, athletes into the women's changing areas and showers. They have full access. So that's how insane this idea is that not all, but a majority of Democrats, at least nationally, support, and that is basically if you call yourself a girl, you can go wherever girls go. That's all you got to do is. They even use this for prison now.
Yeah.
A man will be convicted of a crime that requires him to go to prison or jail, and this is true in some states, blue states.
Oh, I feel.
And then he says, I feel like I'm a woman. Okay, we'll put him in the women's
prison. Just
prison.
Even if they're maybe convicted of a sexual crime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's insane, but this is how it's someone once said liberalism is a mental disorder.
Boy, howdy.
And in many respects, absolutely. Oh. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Well, good for Franklin Graham there.
Yes,
next story,
your plot
Steve.
Head. I'd like to introduce you to former Google CEO Eric Schmidt, who has a chilling warning on AI's future. He was talking in about a three-minute video, which we're not going to play the entirety of. But he said that AI is making some strides, including how you ask the prompts, how it's learning, and how it's programming. And he says, eventually, this is going to end up bad. So, well, pull the plug. Listen to Cut 11.
But at some point, these systems will get powerful enough that you'll be able to take the agents and they'll start to work together. At some point, people believe that these agents will develop their own language. And that's the point when we don't understand what we're doing. You know what we should do? Pull the plug.
Yeah, they develop their own language, so they're talking to each other in a language we don't understand.
Yeah, and they're the thought there, I guess the end game, so to speak, is then they outsmart the human. And that's what he would be.
This sounds like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
It does. He seems to prescribe to what I would call the Terminator version of AI's future.
Yeah, I mentioned this before when we talk about AI, but everything he's saying in the progression of AI is identical to the movie of Eagle Eye, which I watched years ago.
That's a great movie.
Who was that star of that?
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
And what happened in that movie?
I could give it away for those who hadn't seen it, but that's fine.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, yeah. There was twin brothers and one was working with the government on an AI project, or an AI project.
This movie was made, 20 years ago or so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And one of the twin brothers was wanting to whistleblow. Who was the twin brother working for the government whistleblew on the AI being exactly the way exactly. the Google yep. guy just described it. We got okay. to pull the plug.
Okay.
Well, the government took him out, and then the twin brother was approached by the good side, a few people working in government that were the good people, and asked him to basically pick up the trail or pick up the mission of his brother that was killed. And he picked up the mission only to find out that it's the AI that everybody he was talking to on the phone was an AI voice. Everybody that he was working for was the AI computer. And he didn't know any, he thought the whole time he was working for a human, but he was actually working for the AI who was replicating people's voices through text. They were communicating through text.
Ooh, wow.
It controlled every bit.
It controlled the red lights.
Cameras, the stoplights.
You got to see it.
Yeah.
But it was a futuristic movie 20 years ago, but now that's reality.
Right.
Oh, yeah. AI works in the same way that the movie portrays it, except for the government hijacks and it uses it for evil.
Well,
AI hijacks the government.
AI hijacks the government
AI
in the movie.
Says, yep. In the movie, AI says that the
president says so-and-so. Yeah.
That the danger to humanity, to the people is the government, and so it had determined to kill everybody in the government.
Yep.
At a joint session of Congress, it was going to use a bomb.
So what did he do? He actually literally pulled the plug and killed the AI. It was the end thing of, because he had a choice to
make.
That
was his choice.
Yeah, it was his choice.
Or either after humanity
he got shot.
Dies.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah.
Have you seen this movie, Ray?
I've never even heard of it.
You should see it. It's a good movie.
It. Yeah.
Quite the thriller.
After we get off the program, you got to go watch it. It's that soon. Yeah.
But at the end, he pulls the plug.
Yep, he does the right thing.
Yeah, that's spoiler alert. Probably.
I'm not sure that's going to be possible.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Oh, you mean in reality?
No, that's right.
In reality.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Not the movie, but in reality, AI.
In reality, I'm not sure it's going to be possible to, quote, pull the plug.
I would agree with that.
Yep. I tell you
what. So many plugs are doing.
Gives you hope, though, Ray. There's some hope there if you.
Well, now, Elon Musk one of the smartest guys in the world, like him or not. I like him, but, is he a mixed review guy on AI?
He wants to emphasize the positive, the Star Trek version of AI, as I call it, because there's very little he can do to stop the bad stuff. So you might as well go with the good while you.
But he's saying AI is going to take over many jobs in the world.
No, his robots are going to take over many jobs in the world. It's not just AI. He is building robots, the human robots that will be able to do almost anything that humans could do, including pounding nails and fixing plumbing. And at $20 a piece, he's going to have a $7 trillion company.
So how does this work? I'm asking
for a friend.
I understand what robots are, and I have seen his robots that look like humans.
And that act and move like humans, yeah.
Yeah. So do you know, would you like call up a plumber? Or you don't call them up, you order one over, and over comes a...
No, you own one of these $20,000 robots. It's your personal valet, or at least it starts
that way.
And you
just program in what you want
to do? And you ask it, you don't have to program, because it's AI, it's already learned. You just tell it, fix the faucet. Or vacuum the rug.
Man, think
do
about,
my laundry.
I guess honeydew is just going to go away.
Well, I watched a futuristic TV series. I'm sorry, I watched a TV series.
Yeah,
similar to Law and Order, and what they did, what happened on that one, the AI, a guy behind a screen was manipulating AI to pretend like he was another officer.
Okay.
To another officer, and got that officer to do something that ended up costing that officer its life. But similar to the What is it called nowadays where people call and say there's
swatting?
What's that again?
Swatting?
He's swatted, but he did AI using his officer friend's voice.
I remember watching a documentary called The Jetsons where...
yes, there were many episodes of that documentary. Yes.
That's right.
Here, we need a
George Jetson.
But
anyway, this is... Yeah, so what's ahead for us the next 5 to 10 years is going to be...
We have no idea.
No clue. But the prediction is going to be a lot of good, but potentially a lot of bad too, right?
We might not be around.
There's very little legislation and laws on this stuff too.
To keep guardrails on it.
Well, President Trump did an executive order trying to encourage the development. It's kind of the new space shot, as it's called, where he's asking. Putting together all the AI concerns in this country, the private businesses and the government research and everything, and he's hoping to control the market. But control is a very loose word. We don't know who's going to control who. I got to tell you, the things that I'm hearing, we have to have. In fact, I'm going to ask Brent to maybe see when we can book Colonel Bob McGinnis. He's got 3 books out on AI. He is scared to death too. He says it's really tracking closely with prophetic scripture. He sees that all over the place. I think we need to. It's about time we had him on.
Yeah.
Can a college football fan manipulate AI that would cause your school to make it to the finals? Steve.
Hey, we're working on it with the Sugar Bowl right now.
I would think that it could
we're on that.
Put disinformation.
Oh, Ray. Ray.
We're working on
it. Ole Miss Rebel, Ray.
That's right. We're working on it for the Sugar Bowl.
That's right. The Sugar Bowl is Thursday night.
Thursday night, right. Working on it hard.
So we got some big games ahead in college football world that AI is not going to have anything to do with.
Not yet. Not this year.
If AI takes over college football, I'm just going to an island somewhere.
Any of us or, could be replaced.
You can go to France,
right?
like George Clooney or Georges Clooney, because he's now a French citizen.
Take an island. But if I stayed on the island too long, I'd be the end of me anyway. I want to congratulate. We'll maybe talk. Ray, you won't be with us again. You won't be on the show tomorrow, right?
Right.
So Thursday, folks should know our offices and studios are closed. So we'll have special programming on, including a special by Ray Pritchard.
That's right.
I know him.
During this show. So stay tuned for that. We've got that coming up on Thursday. But tomorrow night, Ohio State and Miami play.
Big game.
And then Oregon and Texas Tech play.
Be a big game, too.
That's the first game on Thursday, New Year's Day.
Right.
So we're back to having big games on New Year's Day. I love that. That's an American tradition. Remember, we all grew up watching the bowl games?
That's right. Then Indiana and Alabama in the Rose Bowl.
Roll Tide in the afternoon.
Yeah.
They're saying that's going to be a slog fest because it's rained so much in Southern California.
Yeah.
They're going to tear up the field there at the Rose Bowl. But then you got Ole Miss and Georgia as the nightcap.
Right.
In New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl.
Yep. Four great games coming up.
And Ray, did you go to Ole Miss or are you just a Rebel fan?
My dad went to Ole Miss back in the day.
Okay.
So it's just been passed along from my dad to me and now my boys.
You know?
It's a family thing.
Well, Ole Miss, they've arrived. They're playing with the big boys.
With the big boys now.
Was that a song?
It was from a movie called about Moses.
Give me a spoiler alert to that.
Moses takes the children of Israel out of Egypt.
Steve, you're groovy, brother.
So boss.
We'll pick that up tomorrow.
You got a prediction
maybe
on the Ole Miss score?
Oh, Ole Miss and Georgia. I'll predict it tomorrow, maybe.
Okay.
That's right.
Ole Miss and Georgia.
Wait the last second.
Or at halftime, right?
Potty toddy. We'll
see. A couple of SEC schools going at it on Thursday night. All right. Hope you have a great afternoon, everybody. And we'll see you back here tomorrow with more of today's issues.